Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at nashvillepublicradio.org.
Highs in the high in the mid-80s. It's 73 degrees right now in Nashville at 9 o'clock.
Welcome to this week's edition of Says You, Public Radio's Game with Words. This week played before an enthusiastic San Francisco audience.
This is the T-ball playing heavily drinking crowd. We're liking you more every minute.
Yeah. Ever wonder what kind of people would play this game, subject themselves to its rigors and humiliations?
Oh, he touches his nose to his dog's
nose.
No.
I mean, do you touch your nose to the dog's nose?
All the time.
That's unsanitary, you know.
And he does, and then he touches it
to
me.
Does your dog know where your nose has been?
He really...
Yes, the questions may be hard, but don't worry. They're also brief. Well, you know, no matter what you think of that category, it's over now, so. Come play Says You, next.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. More clashes reported in Egypt today. In Cairo, unidentified assailants used rocks and firebombs to attack protesters outside the Egyptian Defense Ministry. NPR's Soraya Sarhadi Nelson reports from Cairo that one protester was killed and dozens more wounded.
The protesters were supporters of hardline cleric Hazem Abu Ismail. Election officials recently banned him from running for president because his late mother held both American and Egyptian citizenship in violation of the eligibility rules. The cleric has said his mother only had a green card. His supporters have staged many demonstrations on his behalf. Protesters here are frequently attacked by unidentified assailants, especially outside of the defense or interior ministries. Many activists blame the attacks on thugs hired by security forces. The military junta has also tried to discredit protesters by accusing them of being hooligans under the influence of foreign powers, particularly the United States. Soraya Sarhadi Nelson, NPR News, Cairo.
The authorities in China have stepped up their action against the associates of the activist Chen Quancheng, who escaped from house arrest last week. He's believed to have taken refuge at the U.S. Embassy in Beijing, but U.S. officials are not confirming that. Chen's fellow dissident, Hu Jiao, was questioned by police for 24 hours, whose wife described to the BBC how her husband was arrested.
Last night, police came and they took Hu Jiao away to the police station. I asked them how long will they kept Hu Jiao. They said it's about 8 hours, but maybe they will extend to 24 hours. So I hadn't heard from him. And at around 1:30 in the night, Hu Jiao called me because he needed his medicine for his liver problem. So several police came to my home to pick the medicine.
Chen Quancheng's escape from house arrest now threatens diplomatic ties between China and the U.S. Justice Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner prepare to head to Beijing later this week. Polls in Britain show the Conservative Party commands its lowest level of public support in 8 years. Larry Miller reports of Prime Minister David Cameron battling one crisis after another.
The Conservatives are taking a battering. Public support is down to 29%. Cameron is attacked over his relationship with Rupert Murdoch. Much of the government's recent budget is perceived to have made middle-class families and the elderly worse off while cutting tax for the richest. Then last week, Britain fell into double-dip recession. Yet Cameron told the BBC he's getting Britain back on track.
It's a very difficult, very painstaking process of rebalancing our economy.
The latest attack comes from the head of Scotland's Roman Catholic Church, who accuses Cameron of behaving immorally by putting the needs of the rich ahead of those suffering in the recession. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
This is NPR. United Nations observers are said to be visiting the central Syrian city of Homs today. Syria's state news agency says the observers are touring a city neighborhood caught up in the fighting between the opposition and government forces. The monitors have been trickling into Syria to help reinforce a peace plan brokered by Special Envoy Kofi Annan. 20 years ago today, Los Angeles erupted in riots, fires, and looting following the acquittal of four white police officers in the beating of black motorist Rodney King. As NPR's Kerry Kahn reports churches, community groups, and residents are holding commemoration events to mark the anniversary of the L.A. riots.
It was April 29, 1992. Then-California Governor Pete Wilson urged calm.
This is a matter that needs to be settled in the courts and not in the streets.
All of L.A. was put on curfew.
This is not a test. The Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department is now in full mobilization.
There would be 6 days of looting, fires, and destruction.
The entire stretch of Vermont between Santa Monica and Melrose has been looted.
More than 50 people died and property damages topped more than $1 billion. The April 1992 Los Angeles riots were one of the worst civil disturbances in U.S. history. Kerry Kahn, NPR News.
The Coast Guard is still looking for a missing crew member today after finding debris and 3 bodies from a racing yacht off the coast of Mexico. The yacht was participating in the 125-mile Newport to Ensenada International Yacht Race that began Friday. The Sailing Association hosting the race says it looks like there was a collision with a much larger vessel. I'm Giles Snyder, NPR News, from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the Geraldine R. Dodge Foundation, sponsoring the Dodge Poetry Festival in Newark, New Jersey this October. Details at dodgepoetry.org.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Support for Says You in San Francisco comes from the good folks at KQED-FM. And the Intercontinental Mark Hopkins Hotel, historic elegance in the heart of San Francisco, on the web at intercontinental.com.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Scherr.
Thank you. Thank you. From the stage of the Kenbar Theater at the Jewish Community Center in San Francisco, California, welcome to Says You, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. His eloquence tonight will reach new Pacific heights, because he's the tenderloin of tents, Mr. Barry Nolan. Cheese. She's an adverb advocate, a wordsmith on a mission, Francine Akbar. And he once got lost on the way to a 60s love-in because he just couldn't get past the hate, Mr. Tony Khan. Who's going to lead tonight?
I guess it's me, yeah.
Right. Tony.
Yeah.
He'll
like,
be the
wow.
Cup. To my left, team two. It's a fact, not convertible. She's curious about the Castro. Carolyn Faye Fox. She thought that North Beach was where all the really big waves are. Paula Lyons. And he's a fisherman's wharf kind of guy, overbuilt, salty, and staring prison right in the face, Mr. Arnie Raceman.
Yeah, right.
And who leads tonight?
Alcatraz. No.
No. I will lead tonight.
Carolyn
will lead. Correct answers are worth 10 points or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners to grab a pen and paper. Let's begin with a round of gerontology. Please tell me what is meant by the following gerundive endeavors. Carolyn, tagging.
Tagging. Well, are we talking about graffiti here?
That's true. And you get some points because it is applied to graffiti, but there's an even newer definition.
Yeah, tagging photos.
Oh,
Facebook.
Right, in Facebook, sure.
Well, you identify the people in the photo. You call it tagging, right?
It's even a little more than that. Do you know
Spooky.
What else is involved here?
Hey, I got an idea.
I'm not aware. You aren't even that it means anything
I
else.
I thought it was naming the people in the photo.
Identifying the people in the photo.
So-and-so has been tagged and so-and-so's
right.
photo.
And move it, yeah.
You know what?
Share that information.
I'm going to give you the 10 points. Let me just fill it out a little bit here. It is from graffiti slang of the late 20th century. It used to be spray painting designs. Mm-hmm. When you spray painted all over town, mm-hmm. you were tagging. It now has come to mean it's finding a great name for your email accounts, game passwords, and things like that. Oh. That's what...
really?
Ooh, we got a new right off there.
And who's the judge?
Yes, we'd like to know that.
You know, if you hear a good name, you know.
Then why did we get 10 points? We seem to be quite off the mark.
We're owed it from about five shows ago.
Oh, okay. Okay. So,
this is National Public Radio's version of T-ball.
Yeah.
If only we were still with National Public Radio, that would be... Try this one, Tony, and I'll give you a lot of leeway, too. What might be meant by bundling? B-U-N-D-L-I-N-G. Bundling. And I don't mean just packing crates here.
And you clearly don't mean the other thing that comes to mind for me, which was how I spent junior year in college.
Actually, it might be.
Well, really? Really? Do you really mean it? Will you still like me tomorrow if we could? Wasn't bundling a form of taking advantage of human body heat in certain mm-hmm. ways that mm-hmm. Announced a desire to make a commitment, but thank God for the blanket?
I think
yes, it did, exactly. Can you flesh that out a little?
Fleshing it out is the problem.
Yeah, that's true.
It was basically amorous pursuits while clothed and often separated by...
A barrier.
Actually,
a board. A bundle board, in fact.
I think this was the idea that parents had of introducing immovability to hormones. Because you'd be wrapped up so tightly next to each other, you couldn't move.
But you were next
to each other, so that counted for something.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Also, the thing you want to do is a really good salami before you take it.
Yeah, really. It is the...
True.
That's your joke. It's not ours. That's your joke.
That's your joke. Calling Dr. Freud.
Yeah. I mean, we're innocent up here.
You know, Richard, somehow I feel like I deserve 15 points.
Yes.
It's been tough.
It is the early American, predominantly Pennsylvania Dutch, courting ritual.
No kidding.
Where two romantic adolescents, one securely swaddled in blankets, would share a bed. And this presumably allowed for intimacy without dalliance. Later, the practice was extended to, get this, less reputable hotels. Yes, ma'am, where a customer who would agree to be bundled could receive a reduced rate.
So you weren't even looking for the most contemporary definition of that.
No.
Which was, when something rings in my house, I have a great choice of appliances to pick up to figure out who's calling. I mean, the whole idea of bundling your phone with your computer, with your television.
That's bungling.
That would have been...
That's bungling. Yes, if it's bungling. Comcast, it's bungling.
But, right. Yeah. That would have been an extra couple of points, but unfortunately, not your question.
See? Yeah. Not my problem.
Not your question.
Yeah.
All right, you're so smart, Mr. Reisman.
Wasn't going there, but go ahead.
What might be meant by sniggling?
Sniggling?
S-N-I-G-G-L-I-N-G.
That doesn't mean laughing right up your sleeve?
No, it does not.
Sniggling.
Sniggling.
Oops.
Oops.
I have no idea what it is. Sniggling.
I thought it meant like giggling.
I thought it was, yeah,
in a snickering way.
Yeah. Right. Sniggling.
It does not. There is a real meaning
sniggling.
For sniggling.
And is it old or new?
It's been around for a while.
Sniggling. Does it mean
inferior?
No, it does not. It is a verb.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Yes.
This is an activity.
Yes, it is.
Oh. It's what you do when you're bundled.
You sniggle. We called it snuggle, but we must have been wrong.
Well. It's when you squat and gobble at the same time.
Yeah, I know.
Where was it?
You got that one in there, didn't you?
Yeah.
You got that in there. And
We're sticking with it.
No, this is an actual activity that...
A natural activity.
All right. I guess people do this for a living.
I don't know.
Bartering?
Is it putting bait on a hook? I mean...
You're very close. You are very close.
Putting bait on a hook.
You're going to get some points for that.
Does it have to do with...
Wow.
Wiggle
like
and
worms?
Snack.
Oh. Bartering?
No, nothing.
Some sort of dealing for something?
Nope. Paula was really getting
so
it.
So it is... Is
well, it, if I'm right. Either I'm there or I'm not there.
You're not there. But you're getting there.
Sniggling. All right.
It's like
so
putting
is
your
catching?
Pole in the water and pulling it out and up and down? And
it's what you're pulling out more than anything
you're
else.
Is this catching eels or something?
That's exactly
eels.
Right.
Eels.
It is catching eels.
It's on an out of
eels.
To sniggle is to fish for eels.
Fish for eels.
Now, how many points do I give? You know,
well, we worked
all
out.
Of them. 10, yeah.
10
right
points?
Arm.
10 points it is. There you go. All right, then I'm going to be real generous with this one, Francine.
Okay.
And this is my absolute favorite. What might be meant by... Plexing. P-L-E-X-I-N-G. Plexing.
It's when you make your fat look like muscles.
That's 10 points. Yes, that's exactly right. Not even close, but I gave him the 10 points anyway. And I'm not even ashamed. What is it, Francine?
It's when you make your fat look like muscles at multiple movie theaters.
Yes.
And you go from one to the next without paying again.
That's exactly right. So you do get the bell. 10 points. That's exactly right.
You've been flexing.
It is going into a Cineplex, buying one ticket, and sneaking into all the other movies in the Cineplex.
Oh. Who would know about that?
Francine, we are shocked.
I tell you, shocked.
All right, Paula, this is a great one, too. What might be meant by nooping?
Nooping?
N-O-O-P-I-N-G. Nooping.
Seeing movies with eels.
Nooping.
I guarantee you'll love this one.
Wait a minute. Do the scorekeepers know already? Do you know what nooping is? Oh, good. Okay. I hate being bested by it.
Is it sticking your nose where it doesn't belong? You get punched?
No, it is not. That's a good guess.
Nooping.
Though. I like that.
It's not snooping, it's a nooping.
Double or nooping?
Is it a modern term?
It actually it is a modern term.
So
it's
something to do with computers? And
no, nothing to do
social
with
social networking?
No. No. Well. It's social, all right, but not social networking.
Okay,
social.
Is this rubbing noses or something?
Boy, you're getting
very close.
Okay. You're getting close. Take a look at the word. See if anything occurs to you.
Yes, it's those two O's coming together.
Yes.
It's like to do with a dog's nose.
It's
something Arnie does all the time. I've seen you do this a million times.
Oh, he touches his nose to his dog's
nose. No. I mean... Do you touch your nose to the dog's nose?
All the time.
That's unsanitary. You know
and he
that.
No, it isn't. And then he touches it
Does
to me.
Does your dog then know where your nose has
he
been?
He really...
Take a look at the word. See if you can play with it at all. Nooping.
I don't know. So it's not rubbing noses.
No, but you're in the ballpark now.
So are you?
So it's a form of necking?
Yeah, well, in a way. It's... Mm. No, they're not... I'm going to... Any help over there? Any help?
Nope.
There?
Nope.
Nope.
Yeah, nope. Has it got anything to do with
any
nope.
help from this
no
side?
Opening.
No opening.
I'm sorry?
No opening.
No?
No opening.
Okay, audience, you want to take a shot at this?
Not really, I heard. That's good.
If you look at the noop backwards, you get poon, which is almost spoon. Nooping is the opposite of spooning. It is lying back to back.
Oh, my goodness. Really?
That is nooping.
And that,
but I'm going to give you point.
Yeah, because that's where I was going with the stupid. All right, so.
And Richard,
ask him what book he found this in.
Are you referring to Arnie's curious way of introducing himself to strangers? Exactly. How often does Arnie
do this?
That's
not it.
Eve Goodney.
I assume you were hissing Webster there because Barry, what might be meant? And I'm going to give you a hint on this because you're going to need it. What might be meant by the hyphenated term long hooding? L-O-N-G hyphen H-O-O-D-I-N-G. And I'll give you one shot at it, and then I'm going to give you a clue. Because I think you're going to need it.
Long hooding?
Yes.
I wouldn't go there.
Long hooding.
Long H-O-O-D-I-N-G.
Like yep.
Little Red Riding.
Yes.
Except
hooding. Yes.
Dean. Yeah. Long hooding, does it have a car?
Thing? Yes, it does.
Wow.
It does, and not just the car.
It is people that have a fondness or collect American cars that have a kind of long
hood.
You know what? Because you got the car part right off, I'm going to narrow this down for you.
Okay.
This is taxi cab slang.
Taxi cab slang. So this is a thing a taxi cab driver would say.
Yes.
So long hooding has to do with does it have to do with their place in line when you're at a place like an airport?
Yeah, in a way, but I don't want to go there because that'll throw you off. It's there's an element of that, but no, that's not it. Long?
These are meant to be hints.
Well, the other side
is it like unfair play in trying to get a fare? Does it have anything to do with doing something to another cabbie?
That is exactly right.
Oh, is it slipping in to get the?
It's not slipping in. It's but it is about
backing up.
No, not backing up. I'm going to give you 8 points because you really first you got the cars, then you got.
We think it's limos. It's the when they go for a limo instead of a taxi.
No.
No. Anyone want to try?
Where they swerve and they get ahead of the other cab.
You want to try in the audience? In taxi cab parlance, long hooding is fare stealing. It's the practice of misreporting one's location to the dispatcher in order to be deemed closer and thus more accessible to the new fare. Long hooding. Is what that's called.
So it's lying.
Imagine that your hood stretches another mile.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is. So you get 8 points for that.
It's hoodwinking.
Yeah.
It is hoodwinking. Let's go on to round two, which is played with a little musical help from our friends, the Hot Frittatas. It's the first of the Says You bluffing rounds. Carolyn, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one has the actual definition. The other two have cards that say, please bluff. Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot, good enough to fool Tony's team. 10 points up for grabs to Tony, if he can sniff out the truth, or to you, Carolyn, if he can't. A few seconds to come up with a definition for the word Pinkletank. P-I-N-K-L-E-T-I-N-K. Pinkletank. Folks? Richard, I just want to take a moment and thank all the folks who joined the fun with us this year and sold out shows from coast to coast. Details for next season's tapings will be up soon on the website at sayu.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. Where if you just follow that join the fun link, we'll show you how to join the fun. So whether you're in Nashville or New England, north or south, we hope you'll be able to come be in our audience next season for a live performance of Says You. Says You returns after this from home.
I'm Tom Asbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, Nobel Prize-winning economist Paul Krugman says we're in an economic depression and we've got to act to end it. He joins us. Plus, we go to Mecca on the Hajj. The holy pilgrimage ground is being remade. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
Weekday mornings from 9 till 11. You're listening to Says You here on 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio. The time is 9:25 and it's 74 degrees in Nashville.
You can hear Says You Again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at saysyou.net. That is the Hot Frittatas. That's Dennis Hadley on the accordion, Don Coffin on guitar, Gus Gorelick on mandolin and fiddle, and Gail Sharpstein on the cello. Thank you very much, guys. This gives us a chance to thank our scorekeepers. Would you please thank Mr. Marcel Oliart and Mr. Benjamin Schur? Thanks, guys, for keeping the score. We have had a few moments with the word pinkle-tink. We will go first to Carolyn Fay Fox.
Pinkle-tink is a sweet cocktail for non-serious drinkers. For example, a Cosmo.
Wait a minute. As someone who has not survived a Cosmo, that you call that a non-drinker's drink?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. I appreciate the clarification. Thank you. A sweet cocktail for people who really aren't drinkers. You can get a Pinkle Tink if you want one.
That's right.
That could be it.
I think it's called a Pink Lady, no?
Or Arnold, it could be something else. What say you?
Well, it's a flower no longer sold in florists because it's a spiny white flower with yellow spots that when it's dried and ingested becomes hallucinogenic.
Ah.
I become hallucinogenic when I'm slightly dry, too. Could you repeat that, Arnie?
No, you're photogenic when you're slightly dry.
For the benefit of my short-term memory,
it's a spiny white flower with yellow spots. When it's dried and ingested, becomes hallucinogenic.
It could be. It could absolutely.
The colors.
Hallucinogenic.
Wow.
Yes, it could be.
Okay.
Or, Paula, it might be something else.
Well, a pinkle-tink is actually a little animal. It's a very young frog.
Oh.
A very young frog is a pinkle tink. Like a tadpole. Between the tadpole and the frog is the pinkle tink.
Yes, right.
Okay. It could be a young frog, some middle stage of frog development. It could be a spiny white flower that becomes a hallucinogen. Or it could be a sweet cocktail for people who really don't drink that much. It could be one of those three, and the choice, Tony, is yours.
Well, I agree with you. I think a young frog is called a tadpole. So, besides, how can you tell if a frog is young or old? That, just, you know, what do you?
Its voice hasn't changed
you
yet.
Know. Many, many things I am told are hallucinogenic. I don't think a pinkle tink would be one, because I think for it to be hallucinogenic, you also have to be able to pronounce it when you're hallucinating. And I, otherwise, the word never gets around. And pinkle tink just would be too hard to say. And it does sound to me like this could be the Yiddish for a Shirley Temple. You know what I mean? It's a Pinkeltink. What do you think?
Well, there was a
give Jaime a Pinkeltink. I'll have a planter's punch.
Barry's going to sing.
There was a stand-up comic that used to do some routine that where a Pinkeltink would essentially be some moment or event that reveals that you are much more inebriated than you perhaps realized.
And what did he say?
At the end, he said, "I'm not nearly as drunk as Pinkeltink I am."
Ah.
Okay. Remember the guy? There was really a guy.
Pinkeltink.
It's obviously a favorite of this crowd.
Yeah. We're liking you more every minute.
Yeah.
I think Tony's right.
Barry, I think we should lowball it and go with my favorite number, one.
All right.
Carolyn, they have come to some kind of conclusion over here that a Pinkeltink is a sweet cocktail for people who don't really drink that much. Is that, in fact, what a Pinkeltink is?
No, it says, please make something up.
Please make something up.
Oh, that hurts. That hurts.
Now, I know some of you out there think you know what it is. Please don't vote in this matter. But, all right, audience, it's your chance. 50-50 shot. How many think it's the flower, the hallucinogenic flower? How many think it's the young frog? Wow. That's pretty tight. That's pretty close. Someone up there was telling the truth. Who was it?
Pinkeltink, a young frog, a peeper.
It's what tells you in New England that it's spring.
That you hear when March
comes
to New England. That little teep, 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 teep in the trees.
That's a Pinkeltink.
That's a Pinkeltink. They're all over New England.
The sign of spring is when my right eye swells to the size of a tennis ball. That's the sign of spring for me. What are you talking about?
If you go up Cape Cod and on the islands, every one of them's got a Pinkeltink Road, Pinkeltink Lane, Pinkeltink.
Really? Is that
yeah.
right?
Oh yeah.
Well, New Englanders still call spaghetti sauce gravy.
So. Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
That you weird names
and
for
we still
frogs
call it
is not quite right.
Because it takes too long to say frog.
Yeah.
We all now know what a Pinkeltink is.
Beep, beep, beep.
And let's move on to round three, which is a Northern California round of city silliness.
Oh, no. Uh-oh.
From the following puns, clues, and absurd references, please tell me the Northern California city I have in mind.
Oh, no.
For example, where you can find great deals on new and used brass is, of course, Tuba City, Yuba City.
Of course?
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Appreciate that. Tuba City, where you can new and used... I don't even want to go.
Yeah.
You get where we're going here. Carolyn, Northern California city brought to mind by the clue Racy Beach.
Wow. Racy Beach.
Speedy.
Boy, I'm going to get booed right
sexy,
on.
Sexy.
Racy Beach?
Yes.
Nude Beach? No.
Sacramento.
No, not Sacramento.
Cupertino. No.
No.
Racy Beach. Oh, Sausalito.
Oh.
Sausalito.
Sausalito.
A Racy Beach is a Sausalito, yes, Sausalito. All right, try this one, Tony. Elvin Excursion. E-L-V-I-N Excursion.
Something trip?
Not trip, no.
Dwarf Cruise.
Ooh.
Dwarf Cruise is close.
Well, we're getting there.
Los Dwarfos.
But
yes.
You got the excursion part. That's that was the hard part.
We got the excursion and what did cruise?
How did we get
there?
So it's cruise.
Shush.
Something cruise.
Santa Cruz.
They finally got there.
Oh, Santa Hill. Got it.
An elven excursion is a Santa Cruz. Yes, that's what that is. Try this one, Arnie. Finish off Feliciano.
San Jose.
Oh, my goodness. That didn't take much time.
Too easy.
San Jose. Yes, to finish off Feliciano is to send Jose, San Jose. All right, then we'll make it a little harder. Try this one, Francine. Toonsmith Sergio's trouser choice.
Oh, Mendocino,
because it is, of course.
Sergio Mendez.
Yes.
And Chino's is right. Mendocino. Oh, Mendez Chino. All right, here's a tricky one for you, Paula. Hall Light.
Oh. Hall.
Hall Light.
And H-A-L-L?
Yes, in quotes. Hall Light.
Hall?
In quotes.
Light.
Light.
Hall as in...
Why is it in quotes? Is
Oates?
It part...
Hall and Oates? No.
Is it part of a title?
Not a title, no. It's
so.
Okay,
right, so
is this a proper name? Is that what you're trying to hint at? This is somebody's name. So.
Is it Monty you're looking for? Montezuma.
I heard it.
We got it. Tony's got it. Monterey.
Monterey.
Monterey. Monty Ray. Yes, I heard that in rows A through H back there. I heard the Monterey. And finally, the most unfair of them all. Try this one. Did you see the look on his face? Finally, the most unfair one of them all, Barry. A beachy fundraising event.
A beachy
fundraising
event.
I got it.
Go, Francine.
San Rafael.
San Rafael.
San Rafael is exactly right. Very good, Francine. Wow, a beachy fundraising event is a San Rafael. Yes, a okay. San...
How do you pronounce that?
Rafael.
San Rafael.
San Rafael.
Okay.
Well, you know, no matter what you think of that category, it's over now, so... Thank you for playing that round of city silliness. We appreciate it. Let's go on to round four. Which is Tony's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word. Two will bluff. 10 points, Carolyn, if your team can find the rose among thorns.
Take
a few seconds to create a definition for the word nebby.
Nebby.
N-E-B-B-Y. Nebby.
Oh, my darling nebby.
Folks. Says You coming to our town? Where can I find old shows? Who played that music I heard last week? So many questions, all answered on our website at saysyou.net. There you can find tickets to tapings, Dally on the Daily Dispatch, or access our complete archive. You can contribute a question to the show and absorb ridicule on a national scale. This and more at saysyou.net. That's SAYSYOU. We'll be right back.
On the next Fresh Air, Sissy Spacek talks about her new memoir. She became famous for Carrie, playing an outcast high school student with telekinetic powers. She was 25 when she auditioned. To look younger, she wore a sailor dress her mother made her in 7th grade, and...
If I didn't brush my teeth, I didn't wash my face, I put Vaseline in my hair so it would look dirty and a little unkempt.
Join us.
Weekdays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m.
You're listening to Says You here on 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio. Coming up at about 20 minutes at 10 o'clock is Studio 360. At 11 o'clock, it's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Right now the time is 9:39. It's 76 degrees in Nashville.
The Hot Frittatas. Thank you, folks. We've had a few moments with the word nebby. We will go first to a puzzled-looking Tony Khan.
Well, I'd heard it before. I thought it was a broadcast award for the most offensive episode of New Jersey Shore.
But it was too hard to pick.
It was too hard. You took away my punchline.
Oh,
he stole my punchline.
My own.
Okay, it's actually a knot that's not. It's a mistied knot.
A mistied knot. Try to tie the square knot, wind up with a granny. That's a nebby.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, it could be that. Or it could be something else. Francine, what say you?
I had a little trouble figuring out whether this was a noun or an adjective. You are a nebby, or you're nebby-like. But I did conclude that it is to be overly snoopy, speaking of noopy, overly snoopy.
I don't think so.
It's an adjective.
To be overly snoopy is to be nebby.
To be snoopy.
To be snoopy.
Yeah.
Is to be nebby.
That
could be it. Or it could be something else. Bear, what say you?
Francine bluffed well, because something that is nebby, it is an adjective. Nebby is means something is unlikely to succeed. If something's nebby, it's not likely to be successful. For instance, the original concept for one of the popular channels out there now was the Things to Do with Old Food Network. They
not
thought it
make
needed
it.
Refining.
Yeah.
The original idea was nebby. They changed it.
They changed it. Unlikely to succeed. If something is nebby, it is unlikely to succeed. If something is it could mean overly snoopy, or it could be the mistied knot. It's one of those three, and the choice, Carolyn, is yours.
Well, team.
Well, it's hard for me to believe that you need a name for a mistied knot. But
wait,
then I heard the other two.
Don't.
No. Right.
Yes. Right.
How about Francine? She went through all that rigmarole about, I didn't know if it was an adjective or a
noun. Or it could have been a Sunday or a Monday.
Or a vegetable.
Or a vegetable or a mineral. Overly snoopy. Snoopy is snoopy. I don't know if you'd be overly snoopy.
She corrected herself.
She did correct herself. I still don't like it.
Okay.
But I don't know.
Unlikely to succeed? Are you going there?
Unlikely to succeed. You're nebby. It's a nebby idea?
Well, that would bring us back to nebbish, wouldn't it?
Kind of.
In a way.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of liking the nut. But
are you?
Only because mistied knot should have a name. Look, it's a nebby.
He pulled a nebby.
You know, you just flunked day camp. And put him back in a boat. He doesn't know his oarlock from his gunwale. You know, just.
I kind of.
But
think,
you're the captain.
I'm the captain, but I'm not getting much useful from my team.
No, all right. I'll shut up now.
Yeah, you vote for. I still think it might be unlikely to succeed.
Right,
unlikely to succeed?
I'll back off.
I think it might be Francine.
Okay.
Well, then, you're
wow.
the captain.
So
this
we'd like to vote for all three.
Yes. Anyone got a three-sided coin?
There is dissent in the nebbyhood.
Okay. Go with your gut.
My gut tells me nothing.
Oh, okay. Go with her gut.
All right. What's your gut telling you, Paul?
No, I don't care.
You know what? You're feeling something else. So
yeah,
go with
go
it.
Ahead. Go with Snoopy.
I'll go with Snoopy.
I'd go with Odie, actually.
Go with Pigpen. But we'll go with Snoopy, with Francine.
Francine, the captain has stepped up boldly. gone out on a limb and said that Nebbie means Snoopy. Is that in fact what Nebbie means?
Nebbie. Inquisitive. Snoopy.
Yay!
That's exactly
what it means.
This week's Spotlight Round comes at the request of Brooke Allen of Macon, Georgia. I listened to your first season, she writes, and loved a category you called twofers, two ways of saying a phrase. Haven't heard it for ages. How about another go? Sure, Brooke. We found one from season two, a day when Super Sub Flash Wiley joined the panel for a round of twofers. Carolyn, what word or phrase might describe both cabbage salad or Old King's statute?
Slaw.
Coal. Old King's what?
Coleslaw.
Is correct. Very good. Coleslaw. Cabbage salad or Old King's statute is coleslaw.
You know why I knew the answer to that? Because ignorance of the slaw is no excuse.
Yeah. You know,
very good.
I know the feeling. You hate to give it to her, but...
but she is clever.
It was well done. Flash, what phrase might describe both formerly thoughtful or costly?
Something pricey or dear?
Expensive
is correct. Oh. Yes, very good.
Very good.
What a teammate.
Hey.
I love it.
Very good phrase.
Better half a word than no word at all.
That's right.
Yes. Formerly thoughtful is expensive. All right. Arnie?
Yeah.
I love this one.
I bet.
501c3 or a granny for Elijah?
Granny?
Yes.
Nonprofit. Non-profit. Not profit. Granny not.
Not for profit.
Not for profit. Okay. You well struggled through not for profit. 501c3 or a granny for Elijah is not for profit.
What's granny?
Granny not.
Francine, a famous Colorado mountain or a freshwater fish's vexation.
So that's Pike's Peak, right?
Yeah.
There you go.
Pike's Peak.
Oh.
Pike's Peak is exactly right. Excellent. Famous Colorado mountain or a freshwater fish's vexation is Pike's Peak.
Oh, that was fast. Why don't you give her the rest of them?
Well. This is, I'm just ashamed of this one.
Oh, really?
And I didn't even write it.
Oh.
Complete and total follower of a Chinese philosopher.
Yeah.
Complete.
Or a calf's mealtime mix-up.
A what?
Calf's?
Calf's mealtime. Yes.
Mealtime
mix-up.
Confusion.
Mao Mu.
Confucianism.
Utter.
Shut the audience up.
Well, what to do when the audience stands up and shouts
utter
the answer to
you. You send that guy.
I suppose... 10 points, but...
Hey, yes. Didn't I get an 8 for
that? No,
the
wait, 8 points.
Yeah, there we go.
8
there
points
we go.
For that. That's just a little... got a little ugly there. And finally, Tony, this is nasty. Prima donna scandal or to wander?
Air.
Any help from...
Divagate.
Water.
Oh, my goodness.
What?
Very good.
From the other side.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's right.
As a penalty for shouting out the answer.
We didn't hear the answer. She shouted out the answer.
Give them 3 points anyway. That's our Spotlight Round for this week. If there's a memorable moment you haven't heard in years, let us know. We'll send our crack staff into the archives and do our best to find your favorite. You can register your choice at SaysYou.net. That's SaysYou. That's our look back. Now, back to the present. Let's close tonight with a category called Inventive Little Mothers.
Okay.
The following might be unfamiliar by name, but they all created something completely memorable. 10 points if you can identify the fruitful labors of Carolyn.
Mm-hmm.
In the late 1970s, the New York State Department of Commerce felt the best man to do the job was graphic designer Milton Glaser.
Oh, wow. I love New York.
Yeah.
Boy,
yeah.
That didn't take a whole lot of time.
Yeah.
Didn't take a clue either. He invented, I'm sorry, the
graphic design for I Love New York, I Heart New York.
I Heart New York. That was Milton Glaser. Very good. I will give you a clue at the cost of 3 points if you need it for any of these. Try this one, Tony. Around 1800, James Pillans, I hope I'm pronouncing it right.
Spell it.
P-I-L-L-A-N-S. James Pillans of Edinburgh, Scotland, something that would forever change his classroom.
Change his classroom?
Yes. What would it have been?
He invented corporal punishment.
Well, there's a questionable moment in Says You history right there.
Yes. Well, it's got something to do with chalkboards. He invented the... the chalkboard. He
Tony is exactly
blackboard.
Right.
The blackboard.
He didn't need.
Francine.
He didn't even need the clue. The writing was on the wall. It was in fact the blackboard or the chalkboard. Very good. By the way, the clue that I was going to give you for Milton Glaser is that it's not a logo. It's a rebus.
What? Oh, that would have helped.
Rebus.
A rebus.
It's a symbol for a word.
That would have sent us right in the wrong direction.
They used to have it in newspaper contests.
Yeah,
rebus.
Kids
it's
like
rebus.
A B would stand
rebus.
For B.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. All right, Arnie, I gave this one to you for a reason. Let's see if you can get it. What might have been the fruitful endeavor created by either Lionel Sternberger at the right spot
At the
Louis Ballast at the Humpty Dumpty. No one's really sure.
If no one's really sure, how can we get the right answer?
That's right. What might have been the contribution of either Lionel Sternberger at the right spot, R-I-T-E, or Louis Ballast at the Humpty Dumpty?
So is this food related?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Is it a hamburger?
Is it a bun?
You know, you're 9 points there. You have to refine it just a little bit.
Is it the hot dog bun?
No.
It's the hamburger bun.
Carolyn is closer.
Oh. It's the hamburger.
It's not the hamburger.
It's not the hamburger.
It's the hot dog.
No, not the hot dog.
It's the cheeseburger.
It's the cheeseburger. Yes. Oh, okay. The cheeseburger.
We're very close.
All right.
They're both restaurants. The Right Spot and the Humpty Dumpty are both restaurants. And I know I'm going to get 10,000 letters saying the cheeseburger was invented in my backyard.
Yeah, of course.
Okay,
yeah.
I know that. But according to the sources we looked at, it was one of those two places.
Where was the Right Spot and the Humpty Dumpty?
The Humpty Dumpty is, Arnie, do you know where?
I thought it was in the Midwest someplace.
It's in Denver.
It's in Denver. Well,
yeah, there you
Humpty,
go.
Well, I guess you're right.
That's why I thought you would know that. And the Right Spot, I believe, is in Southern California, but I'm not quite sure where. Try this one, Francine. James Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, created it around 1950, but it was madman Peter Hodgson who put it in the hands of children.
Oh, frisbee.
Well, my colleague here just whispered loudly in my ear, a frisbee.
It is not a frisbee, but that's a great guess.
James Slinky?
And not a slinky.
A switchblade.
A switchblade.
Dark,
very dark.
1950.
Squirt gun?
James Wright created it in 1950, but it was madman Peter Hodgson who put it in the hands of children.
Yeah. When did when did he put it in those hands?
About 1955 or 56.
Yeah. Squirt gun?
Nope, I can give you a clue for 3 points.
No, not yet. No.
Pogo stick?
No,
but what a great idea.
The clue is it bounces.
Oh, the
silly putty.
Silly putty.
Silly putty. Oh.
Is exactly right. 7 points.
Oh, yes.
That wasn't all it did. It didn't just bounce.
You could rub it on a cartoon and make an impression.
That's
right. And if you were really hungry, you could eat it.
I got it at the Museum of Science store in Boston.
That's right.
When I used to visit my cousins.
You
own
it.
It's real.
You eat it.
It took a madman. It took a guy from Madison Avenue to figure out what to do with it, but he figured out it was silly putty, and that's what it was.
But what did it start as?
Oh, nuclear research.
Just, yeah, it was.
Yeah, right.
What's that stuff on your shoes?
Surgical Band-Aid.
Yeah, right, exactly. Okay. It's like the whole
why use it on surgery? Why? Look at the potential.
That's right.
Try this one, Paula. Edwin S. Lowe, L-O-W-E, a Depression-era New York toy salesman, brought great fortune to Faith.
Great fortune.
Edwin S. Lowe, a Depression-era New York toy salesman, brought great fortune to Faith.
Faith.
So, he invented the collection box? What?
You're not that far off.
We used to have them in school.
Oh,
the little penny boxes we used to, for the poor children.
Remember that he was a toy salesman, so there was some.
Oh, a bobblehead saint.
Oh, stop!
Bobblehead saint. Start it now.
It brought great fortune to Faith. So it's a money-raising technique.
It's a charity thing.
And is it a raffle? Is it
selling chocolate?
Fair?
You're getting there.
Putting the toy in
bingo.
Bingo is exactly right. Yay! Bingo.
So.
Bingo.
That was bingo. Edwin S. Lowe invented bingo. And finally,
bingo.
Try this one, Barry. Late 19th century New Zealander George Vernon Hudson made it late earlier. How?
Oh. Did he invent daylight savings time?
He, in fact, invented daylight saving time. 10 points. Very good. Which gives you an extraordinary total of 85 points. And the only thing more extraordinary than that is that it's a losing score. 100 points for Carolyn Faye Fox's team. Winners this week. Wow. I kind of think that might have been the most inaccurate scorekeeping of the century, but I'm not really sure. I'm not quite sure. That is all we have time for this week. Thanks so much to Joanne Wallace, Robin Smith, and all the folks at KQED FM who have been our friends for years. And to the incomparable Lenore Naxon, Geese Graphics, Jordan Shapiro, and all the folks here at the Jewish Community Center of San Francisco. Sharon Salkin, write the words. Antonio Oliard captures the moment. And Zach Moore is the VIP of APs. We close this week from beautiful California, where by law, a dog cannot be a raffle prize. What problem arose? That's our thought from San Francisco, and we'll see you all next week. Support for Says You in San Francisco comes from the good folks at KQED FM and the Intercontinental Mark Hopkins Hotel, historic elegance in the heart of San Francisco, on the web at intercontinental.com. Benjamin, give them the skinny.
Says You, created and produced by Pippin and Finch, Boston.
You've been listening to Says You here on 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all of our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org.
The Metro Emergency Communications Center reminds you that 911 is for life-threatening emergencies only. If you call 911 by mistake, never hang up. All hang-up calls must be returned, which ties up 911 resources. To avoid calling by accident, lock your cell phone keypad and never store 911 on speed dial. In Davidson County, 862-8600 is the number to call for non-emergencies.
I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Join us next time for the news and these stories here and now. Trayvon Martin was killed in a gated community, and one writer says the insular mentality of gated communities may have been a factor. Also, our resident chef, Kathy Guntz, takes kids into the kitchen and gets them to cook healthy food and eat it, too. That's Public Radio's Daily Digest of News and Culture, here and now.
Weekdays at noon.
What kind of advice would you have for couples like me and Drew?
Go slow. It's not a marathon. It's just a stroll.
Hi, I'm Dave Isay, creator of StoryCorps. Interview someone you love when our national tour comes to you.
The StoryCorps mobile booth will be at the Nashville Farmers Market May 2nd through June 2nd, sponsored by Waddy & Patterson Intellectual Property Law. Details are at WPLN.org.
And a look at Nashville's weather for today. Mostly sunny skies and the high in the mid-50s. Partly cloudy tonight, the low in the lower 60s. More